Greetings, travelers, and welcome back. Thank you so much for joining us for a brand spanking new episode of The Venture Maidens. I know you're itching to hear this week's hot tea, but before we dive in, I wanted to let you all know that we have a brand new stream for you fine listeners. That's right. If you haven't already heard on our social media, our very own Sage is now DMing the recently released adventure from Wizards of the Coast, Dungeons & Dragons Baldur's Gate Descent into Avernus. That's right. Every Wednesday between our classic Venture Maiden's Tale, we'll be venturing to hell with Maiden Celeste, Katie, and myself, along with some of our favorite bearded maidens, or mandans, whatever you prefer, our very own Paul Harpering and JB from Drop the Die. You can now watch us play live everywhere, literally. We are now streaming on Twitter, on Twitch, on YouTube, whenever we go live, so follow us all over social media so that you never miss a stream. Or if you can't join us live but you don't want to miss any action, you can still hear The Descent into Hell in podcast form that will be available through our Patreon listeners. So you can listen at your leisure. Now is the time to join, people. And now, as always, thank you to our Patreon donors for getting us here. And thank you, Emily Mayo, for composing our theme song. And now let's talk about our sponsors today. Kobold Press. Want to learn the secrets of elven magic? Blast your enemies with battle magic? Build cunning mechanical servants with clockwork magic. Deep Magic from Kobold Press for 5th edition is now on Kickstarter. Time magic, rune magic, illumination, more than 575 new and compiled spells by the best in the business, including Wizards of the Coast staffers and A-list freelancers. That is so much content to expand your games and playstyle, people. In this supplement, you'll find new magic schools, sorcerer's origins, warlock patrons, feats, spells, magic items, and more. People are already loving it so much, it's already funded and blasting through its stretch goals. That's how great it is. So get going and broaden your horizons and check out their Kickstarter at koboldpress.com. Last time on The Venture Maidens. Kara was alone on her journey through Purgatory after a trip down the River Styx. She freed the tormented souls of her fathers and traveled with them to confront their torturer. Kara's longtime enemy, the Drow matron mother, Arafel, had also been pulled into Purgatory by Rem. The two did battle with the matron mother, calling on the power of her dark god, Lolth, and Kara emblazoned with the spear of the dwarven all-father, Moradin. In the end, Kara stood victorious, did you ever doubt it? And her father's souls were allowed to finally pass into true death. And that's what happened. Thank you so much for sticking around. Now let's jump into the action.
Gather round, travelers, to hear our tale. Our maidens are left high and dry, waiting at the Elysium Keep. Will Isolde arrive in time to help them? What will our heroes do about the events of last week? Can Farah restore her shaken faith? Find out in episode 68, Wake Up Call.
Welcome back to another episode of The Venture Maidens. We have everybody back this time, which is so very exciting. Since, you know, last time it was a one-on-one with Sage and I, and it was spicy.
So spicy.
Extra spicy, but we'll get to that in a second. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Venture Maidens. I'm just going to kick it off. Let's go. Hi, my name is Celeste Konowich. I'm going to be your dungeon master.
I'm Brittany Quintero playing Arnadella Thill. Moon Elf Warlock. It's been a minute, guys.
It has. I'm Katie. I am playing Farah Valin, the tiefling, cleric, sorceress.
It's true. We know.
You're just a cleric in Kara's eyes. She's like, yeah, that's why you
that's
heal.
That's what they do.
You got them feel goods.
I'm Nassim. I'm your human monk, Sayanur. She doesn't talk like that.
You talk like that all you want to, honey.
And I am your dead barbarian, Kara Brynhilda, a.k.a. Sage.
Yay! That's true! And, yes.
No, it's not. It's a lie.
It's a lie, and I hate it. Yep. So, yeah, last episode we dove into that solo adventure with Kara in Limbo, who had died at the end of the previous episode. And so, yeah, that's where we're going to start, with the rest of you and what you saw happen in that room. So, Saye, Farah, and Arnadel, you had raced into this room after doing battle with these drow in this underground tomb of sorts. You know, you had figured out that there was something going on with whatever was beyond this enchanted archway. And after defeating Nalfian, who had been the leader of the drow, he said, "It doesn't matter. Like, we've already won. Ha ha ha." And with that in mind, you had charged into this final room, and you had seen laid out in front of you, in the center of this room, there was this large slab, and upon it, there was this, like, it almost looked like a cast iron, like, suit of armors, just this black, heavy, pretty unornamented suit of armor laying on this table. And as you had reached into this room, you had seen Rem standing over this suit of armor, throw a dagger right between Kara's eyes. And as Kara had fallen backwards, Rem had disappeared, and the suit of armor had begun to glow. And in a moment, as all of this was happening, the suit of armor had sat up and basically jumped and, like, Superman punched through the ceiling and, like, climbed out of this rocky ceiling. Meanwhile, Kara, dead, there on the ground. So, we're actually starting this game. That all happened. It's been 3 days since that happened. After you had gotten to Kara and this armor, this thing, Rem, had disappeared and it's gone, you had taken her body and gotten out of that dismal place, that horrible place with those strange doors and markings and all the violence and the dead bodies. You had carried Kara's body out of there. You had made your way back to North Point, being led by Sathras. You had gotten there, and from that point, you had done what you could. You called Kristoff, you called Isolde. You were like, "Hey, like, this has happened. What's going on?" And Isolde had let you know via arcane message, "Get back to the Elysium Keep. Take Kara back there and wait for me. I'll meet you." So you did. Sathras and the Duke had helped you basically teleport back to the Elysium Keep. And you've been there. It's been 3 days. Isolde still hasn't shown up. Right now, there aren't a lot of people at the Keep at this moment. It's sort of like everybody's in full chaos mode other places. So the three of you have just been left sort of to your own devices right now, waiting for Isolde to show up with Kara's body preserved sort of on, like, magical ice, as it were, like, locked in the Arcane Tower. So you've had 3 days. I would like to ask you all what you have been doing in this time. So who would like to go first?
I mean, obviously we've been crying a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And probably drinking a lot.
Yeah. What's the general mood like? Yeah, you all tell me what's been going on these 3 days.
Denial.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, yep, 100%. That's...
Yeah. I think Saya's pretty much put on the role of mom, I guess, or cheerleader for Rem to kind of also convince herself that this was all part of a plan. I have seen Rem resurrect Arnadel, and she has been there for us time and time again. This must be for a bigger reason, and she will come back. It's been 3 days, but she will come back. Someone will do something. And trying to keep everyone's heads out of the sand and support Gidget. And
yeah, so Gidget... So right now, I'll give you the list of people who are in the Keep, because it's a much shorter list than people who aren't right now. So Vlad is still here. Wizban is still here. So you're Gnomish Artificer, so Gidget's uncle. And those are really the only two keep representatives. Almost everybody is still back at the Great Council meeting right now. So Kristoff is there, Aaron is there, Gidget is there. You honestly don't even know if Gidget knows.
Oh, God.
No. Yeah,
that's poor Gidget.
Then yeah, just in supporting the three of us left, I think in the meantime, Sawyer has been tending to Kara's body and trying to keep it as fresh as possible and preventing, you know, the typical rigor mortis and things from setting in from the lack of use of muscles and the nerve systems. So she's like bathing her and moving her limbs around and all that stuff, trying to keep her fresh.
I think we'd definitely be helping you with that. Like 100%. Maybe borderline obsessively, like losing sleep on it. Do we take like shifts? So it's like a round the clock kind of thing.
Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm. How's how's Farrah dealing with all this?
Farrah, who's usually like, you know, making jokes and like hitting on everything with two legs and all that. She's actually been like, when we all first got there, she was like kind of hopeful, probably like tried to push a few cure wounds into her to no effect and everything. And since then, she's like been like talking when addressed, but she's been pretty quiet. And she's just been looking at the mark on her hand a lot. And I think that when she's not taking her shift to visit Kara and just like bringing like stupid little rocks that she found around the keep, like for when you wake up, you know.
Oh, you guys.
But yeah, like when it's not her turn, she's probably keeping to herself a lot in her room. I think that she's praying a lot to the sisters, kind of confused as to why she's really there if she can't keep people alive. Because she was like, all right, well, I thought I was going to have maybe like this epic romance and that was going to be my fate, but this is what I'm doing now. And then fuck, it's all ruined. So I think that she just takes her time, like kind of praying and looking at the magic within herself to learn the revivify spell, for future. And goes around and, procures 300 gold pieces worth of diamonds just in case.
Yeah, it's easy to find in Valerius's room.
Yeah, he's not there. I'm just like, he won't mind.
He won't mind. Take some dragon grills. It's fine. I don't know. Yeah. So it's been a long 3 days at this rate. And, you know, you're sending out these prayers. And usually, you know, you get that warmth or that feeling of, like, rightness back. But it's just been silent. It's almost like this feeling like no one's on the other side. You know, you're sending messages out in bottles out into the ocean, just hoping somebody gets it. And yeah, it seems like after a couple days of this, even like the staff folks at the Elysium Keep are sort of avoiding all of you. It's like your gloom is just sort of like,
well, yeah,
perpetuating. Wizban has absolutely locked himself in his workshop because, you know, he's frustrated. His magic doesn't specifically help with this situation whatsoever. And I guess one of you, somebody roll me a d4. Let's call Nassim 1, Brittany 2, Katie 3.
3.
3? Okay. All right. So Farrah, it's your turn now. You're hanging out with Kara's body, which has been stored basically. So one of the towers of the Elysium Keep, the Arcane Tower. This is where, like, Isolde does most of her work. And this is the place where, like, the teleporting mechanism is. And just most of the libraries and everything are here. There's a section in this room where actually, like, magical reagents are stored. So these are things you might use in spells, like dried herbs. So it's a very cold room. This is where Kara's body is being kept at this moment. So what are you actually doing right now?
Yeah, I think that she's like first sits down and she like puts like another like little rocks are just like lining the side of, you know, where she's laying. And then she just sits down and she takes like a flask out of her little pouch and she just takes a swig and like looks over her. I think the first 2 days she was probably like, hey, can't wait for you to get back. I don't know how this works. And then she's like, the second day, she's like, maybe Kara would laugh if she woke up with a mustache. But then the third day, she's just kind of like sits there like a kid, just like staring at her, willing her, even though she knows she has to wait for Isolde to do something.
Yeah. And as you're like seated here and you're kind of like looking at the body, you are completely caught off guard when like a slamming sound happens, like, and the door is just like flung open, and you see like outlined in the light there, Isolde is standing there, and she's like got like dark bags under her eyes and looks like completely fucked up from whatever she's been doing. And she like, she looks at you and she's like, is she here? Is she? And she, like, without waiting for an answer, she, like, kind of pushes past you and is, like, looking at Kara and, like, lifting up, like, her eyelids and, like, look and, like, putting her head on her chest. And Isolde's looking back, like, I'm sorry, I couldn't get in. Just, I need a few things. Can you get them for me? And I have this. And she, like, pulls out of a pocket here and she, like, shoves a list of things into your hand.
Okay. Yes. Is there? I'll find somebody who knows where things are. Okay.
Yeah. And Isolde has like moved back into the main room and is like pushing furniture and like getting chalk and like started to draw things like on the ground.
I'll be back.
Okay. And just keeps like sort of drawing on the floor. She looks exhausted.
Yeah. I think Fair just kind of like runs to where she would know that Saye and Arnadel are, and she like comes with the list. She's like, hi, a lady came in. I thought she was a wraith for a second. It's not. It's Isolde. I need all these things, but I don't know where anything is because I've pretty much been in my room and at the bar. So could I get some assistance?
Yeah, what are the two of you doing, Saye and Arnadel? It's like, let's call it like 5 o'clock, like on the third day.
Sai is probably training with her new short bow.
You're like rage, like pew pew pew, like in that center, like courtyard area.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've definitely like drug out, like, you know, they have the practice dummies, so you can absolutely, so you can see Farah immediately as you exit Sai down in the training yard. And Arnadel, what are you up to? Where are you right now?
Reading like a motherfucker, and probably like hollowly, you know, like she knows that whatever's supposed to happen, it's kind of on standby because she's been poring over every fucking book that the keep has in order to like.
Yeah, you swear you're reading this page for the 10th time and just
but,
not.
Because she knows that there's no fucking, she knows what the, you know, like there's nothing she can do, but she just wants to, maybe there's a glimmer of like some sentence in a paragraph, but. So yeah, just kind of like basically staring at the wall, but it's a book in her hand. Trying to stay apathetic.
Yeah, and
because it hurts.
Yeah, so maybe you're also in the courtyard, let's say, at this point. Yeah, like on a bench or something. So yeah, Farah bursts in here.
Well, what? Yeah, what do you need?
I just like unravel this list of stuff and I just flip it around to you guys.
Yeah, so it's a lot of like medicinal herbs, and then it is like diamonds, like 300, like 1,000 things, people worth of diamonds, and like all this kind of.
I feel like I would know about a lot of these things with the alchemy background and like hanging out with Valerius and trying to be budsies with him. So she snatches it out of your hand because it's a glimmer like, of hope.
Oh, thank
definitely.
You. Take this responsibility.
You have a task.
Yeah, there's something. And then
why don't you all go ahead and somebody make me an investigation check and do it with advantage since you all are kind of running around the keep gathering stuff. See if you can find everything on this list.
Okay. Guidance. Plus 3.
Oh, you said with advantage. Oh, right.
Yes.
Da, 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 da. 19.
Okay, yeah, great. Yeah, with the like the skillful help of Arnadel, because you've done a million little alchemical things in the Arcane Tower before. So you're able to find, all the herbs and everything pretty easily. You raid Valerius's jewelry box. It's fine. and then you make your way back to where Isolde is now. And yeah, she's pushed all the furniture off to the sides of the room. And Kara's body is laying in the middle of this, like, chalk circle thing that she's drawn, and all of the shit like Windows have been covered, and she's walking around lighting a bunch of candles right now when all of you walk in.
My rocks. Just kidding.
What?
I said, oh, it's fine.
She's...
Here's the stuff. We all came.
Oh, great. Okay, thank you. I'll just put all of this, and she takes the basket and starts putting them in, like, in these little designated circles around. And as you're looking at, like, this giant setup she's got here, this, like, huge ritual circle she's run, this is big level magic, that she's clearly about to do something here. And yeah, Kara's body has just been, like, kind of dropped into the center. You're not sure how Isolde got it there. She's frail. And she looks at all of you. This will take about an hour or so. You're welcome to stay if you wish. And she, like, rubs her eyes tiredly.
Yeah, of course. Tell us if you need anything, too, to anything else to help.
I think this is, sorry, a little beyond all of you. If you just... And she, like, waves a hand towards, like, some chairs that she's piled in a corner.
Yeah, I think Farrah will sit down and just, even though it is beyond her, she does her part and tries to pray, even though she hasn't gotten anything in response. Maybe it's all built up for this.
Yeah, so just this moment. Isolde waves a hand and then takes a seat at one side of the circle. And she sits down and she places her hands on these two places she's drawn, and she begins chanting in a language some of you might recognize as Sylvan, so the language of the Eladrin. And you see the circle begins to, like, flare occasionally and, like, pulse with these different multicolored lights that are spinning around Kara's body here as she's just going into this long, long, dolorous sounding chant. And the longer you stay, every minute that passes by, so this takes 1 hour, so one of the candles goes out every minute across the room, and with each burst of light, the circle seems to flare a little bit more. Until, do you all want to stay through the whole ritual?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, yes. I think so.
It gets boring after a while watching this, but it's that same thing. And you see, like, sweat is pouring down Isolde's face, like, as these candles are going out, 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 until, like, the rest of the room is losing all illumination. It's just this flaring, multicolored circle in the center.
I would totally challenge this being boring. I feel like all of us would be, like, waiting with bated breath with each one of those candles. Like, sort fucking, yeah. Like, this is one of us. That's, you know, like, this is an emotional thing. Sorry, I'm getting wrapped up in it. Sorry.
Yeah, and as you focus on the circle and on the lights, the energy in the room just shifts a little bit. Like, it's almost imperceptible at first, but as the candles begin to dwindle, like, this electricity is going throughout the space, and you start to feel, maybe hear, it's like a heartbeat that's going over and over again as time is speeding up. And you actually begin to see Kara's body start to shift ever so slightly. It's almost like breath is returning to it, but it's not quite right as this is happening. It's more of like a jerking sort of motion. And then suddenly all of the candles are out. The room is in complete darkness. And you hear a sharp inhale of breath. And Kara, where we last left you, the world had gone dark, and all of a sudden, as you take in this choking breath that just feels like you've, like, swallowed a bunch of water, it's awful, it's raspy, it feels something's wrong with it, but smell returns to you. You can't see anything again for a moment, but your dark vision starts to kick in, and you see that you're in some kind of stone room, and there are people at the periphery of your vision. Kara. Welcome back.
Wow, it's so good to be back, guys.
Kinda.
I think it's fair to say that we would, like as soon as you sit up and make it clear that you're cognizant? Anyway, we're gonna...
Sage Rose.
Oh, there you are. Okay. I think we're gonna rush over to you and, like, kind of hug unit the shit out of you.
Cuddle puddle.
Yeah, Kara, how do you feel? You've been dead for 3 days. Just as a mechanic, after a resurrection spell is cast, right now you currently have a -4 to all ability checks and saves and attack rolls. And basically the way that works is that for every day that passes, that will diminish by one. So it'll take 4 full days until you're actually back to your stats. But yeah. So you all hear
this. She feels like ass.
Yeah.
Yeah, the way that, like, you hear just that sharp inhale, and then she coughs, and then she's just, like, lying on the floor. She hasn't actually moved yet, but she just starts groaning, and she's just like,
She's a zombie. Run.
Oh, no!
Wrong twist! See, like,
And you see, like, her fingers, she's just, like, starting to, like, move her fingers and curl her toes, and, like, you can see her slowly, like, figure out how to use the muscles in, like, her body again. And finally she just kind of, like, rolls over to the side, and then just, like, kind of slumps up. She's like, where am I?
It's about this point, too, you all hear a thud coming from where Isolde was sitting on the floor.
Oh shit.
How is Isolde looking?
She's passed out.
Like, from exhaustion?
Yeah, you would guess. She looks, she's a pale woman, but she looks, like, parchment white.
Oh.
At the moment.
I remove myself from the cuddle puddle for a moment to put her in a more comfortable position.
Yeah, you kind of, like, prop her up against a wall. And she, like, her eyes, like, do the fluttery thing. And she just, like, leans against a table. You could definitely leave her there.
Yeah, I'm just like... oh, my God. Hello?
Guys, you're hurting me. I can't... I can't... You're so heavy.
The pain means you're alive.
You're feeling again. We tried so hard to keep your body moving and flexible. You'll be back to normal in no time. Oh, we're just so happy you're back.
And then she immediately, like just so jarringly, just immediately snaps to, and she's like, wait, no, okay, oh my God, Arnadel, I need you to go get Parchment right now. I have something very important to tell you, and I need to tell you before
she
forget,
has it
because I feel like I'm gonna forget.
She has it on her. It's on her person, so she's gonna whip it out. Like, basically, it's already out.
Whip it out.
Yeah. So yeah.
And she, yeah, and Kara immediately begins to regale you all with the tale of what happened when she died and how she woke up on the river Styx and everything had happened and fighting alongside her fathers and defeating Arafel in death and she gets to the end after she had defeated Arafel. She's like, and Moradin told me that Rem is a fucking problem and we need to take her out because she's gonna, like, destroy the world. Like, this is some world-ending shit. We have to stop her.
I'm writing this
Sayu,
in...
Sayu, weren't you just...
I'm writing this in Dwarven, by the way.
Sayu was saying that, like, she was awesome and she was gonna be back and she was good.
Well, little...
No, she is...
There was a small moment months ago where... I would, you know, we have this, like, crockpot recipe that my patron gave to fucking take her ass out. Aaron killed a fucking dragon for it, you know, like, it's in my room in a box.
This is some new girl shit lack of knowledge. Okay.
We all wanted to conveniently forget about it since it's still...
Arnadel has the heart of an ancient blue dragon.
I didn't kill it, but it's there in my room, and there's a thing that the Raven Queen gave to take it out. Because they're cousins, they, like, kind of go way back. I don't want to know, but...
Yeah, Rem is a daughter of the god Nerul, who is a god of death, and she's up to some fucking shit.
Also, Kara, we should probably get Vlad to bring you a drink, because I was only dead for, what, like, 5 minutes and you were dead for 3 days. So I cannot imagine how.
It's been 3 days?
Yeah, sorry.
Are you kidding? It was like an hour. What? Three days? Yep. Wait, what's going on?
We don't know.
Yeah.
We've been in this. Is like,
does she have like a gnarly? Does Kara have like a gnarly fucking scar? That dagger's not there anymore, right? Not like a unicorn dwarf.
Can I say she has unicorn a cool scar?
You would have. So when Kara was hit initially, there was like a wound there. It has faded over the last 3 days. Like, as her body has begun to rot, like, all traces of it. So now there's just the faintest line.
I feel like Saya would be able to, like, blood bend. Blood flow.
That's not a thing. Dungeons and
Dragons. We just
oh, really? Damn, that would be tight, though.
We put a ban
slightly
on blood.
Slightly terrifying, but also you want that on your team.
Yeah, we don't know what the hell has been going on. We've been pretty much here at the keep alone for the past 3 days, and Zold is the first one to show up. I don't know how many others know that we're back here, but they're all still back with the fucking royalty.
Wait, is Gidget there?
Yeah.
Okay. I guess I should send her a raven and say I'm alive.
We didn't know what to tell her.
And you're back now, so it's fine.
We figured you'd be back. I mean, we didn't give up hope, that's for sure.
Can Vlad show up at this point with, like, Kara's favorite task? Like, two of them?
We never asked for.
My lady.
Vlad is not showing up.
Damn it. Vlad would also be perfect for his old right now. Shit. All right, well.
Yeah, anybody, like, in between these kind of stunned silences and lulls, you hear, like, a muttering. Azold is, like, saying.
Oh, maybe something. We should tend to.
Sure.
But, yeah, let's walk over and.
Yeah, I bring her a little canteen of water.
Yeah, she. I think someone get coffee.
Coffee?
Anyway.
How about we just all.
She's, like, looking.
I'm on it. I'll go.
I'll cast.
Saya runs out.
I think I can do this on more than one person. I'll ask Kara before doing it, but I'm definitely going to cast Levitate on Isolde so we can float her ass to wherever we need her. Oh. That way, you know, she doesn't have to walk. She's exhausted. It's nice. That's like the ultimate gurney. And then, of course, I would ask Kara permission. Hey, like, do you want to float down the hall? Okay, no. I mean, I was, that's why I asked. I know how you feel about
I'll
it.
I'll take it.
All right, here we go. Yeah, she's already levitating. But let's get your buns to the.
Isolde, you should go to bed.
What's a restoration doesn't do exhaustion? That sucks.
Yeah.
There's too much to tell. Has anybody reached out about what's going on?
We're going to right now. Let's get you to bed.
No. There's too much happening, and I need to know what happened down there. I got this message from Sathras, and there's this been an assassination, and Kristoff is dealing with that, and I don't know. It just all seems
convenient.
Yeah, Arafel. Rem killed Arafel.
What? Rem? I'm sorry. I don't really understand what's happening here. So you. Coffee.
Well, you're gonna be of use to no one if you're not well rested, so I command you and myself to go to bed.
Isolde, we wrote it down if it's maybe easy. Do you want to read this in bed?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm assuming right, Isolde fine. Can read Dwarven. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll take, yep. You can definitely float her. Off to her rooms.
Anyone else, like, just sees us just floating by.
She's like clutching at the scroll, like, you know, trying to read it right now, and her eyes are like blinking.
Oh no.
Shine. So you can definitely deposit her in bed and Isolde, like, right before you go, she's talk to Rana. He knows something about what's going on. He's with Vlad.
Oh, he's here?
He's in the dungeon. We didn't know what to do or what's going on. Just see if he can. I don't know.
Is this the first time I've seen Rana?
Since coming back, yeah. since the last time when you died.
Yeah. It'd be interesting. Yeah, I guess we're all going to the basement. Or the dungeon. The basement of the castle.
After you've put her into her room, Saya comes back with the coffee. It's like, where'd she go?
She's like, I'm gonna grab that gently. Cup of coffee and be like, I'll take this. But thank you.
Oh, okay.
I appreciate it.
Thanks, Boo.
She needed to sleep.
Mackerel. I, for one, am very glad that Kara is not permanently dead, but wow, we are being faced with a tall order. Join us on Discord to share your theories and speculations on how this next arc will shake out and what Rem's role in this is. Speaking of godlike beings of unknown power, I'm currently running Descent into Avernus with Celeste, Nassim, Katie, Paul, and JB as players. We had our first episode on the 9th, but fear not! We always post our Twitch streams on YouTube, and if you're a patron, you'll have access to the audio files. Join us as we venture into hell. Alright, but before we get back into the action, I must tell you of what fine artisans of Elderwood Academy have crafted. If you're not familiar with Elderwood Academy, they're artisans who craft amazing gaming products, including dice towers, dice trays, dice boxes, deck boxes, dice, and more. On September 10th, they launched their new Spellbook Minis Kickstarter. They're tiny leather-bound natural hardwood tomes that store your dice and miniatures with fully customizable, fully stamped art. It's really cool. I love the lotus design with the gold trim, or with the gold foiling, and the lapis background. It's super neat. So if you want to check them out for yourself, go to elderwoodacademy.com/don't-split. Alright, let's get back to it.
You want to head down to the dungeon?
Yeah, man.
All right, sweet.
Kara goes to bed. She's fuck this.
I feel like they'd be a little reluctant to just, like, leave you in your room, you know, like, where you just, like, kind of hang out by the door, like, okay, sleep safe. Like, you're going to be good? You need... I'll leave the...
Maybe we should still do the shifts.
Yeah, I feel like that would be, yeah, she's going to not... Like, we're not going to close the door. We'll leave it cracked. There's going to be a light. Like a... walkie-talkie.
There's a bell on your nightstand. Ring it if you need anything.
Alistar. I want to leave Alistar with you. Straight up.
Kara spoons him.
He blows some bubbles.
Oh my god. Yeah.
Let's out a big pink bubble. As you squeeze them.
To the dungeon.
Okay. Yeah, so as you head down those steps, and as a reminder, you have to like head outside the walls of the keep here, so you're on that thin ledge that just looks down into this very, very deep cavern that the Elysium Keep is suspended in. Oh, Fair, you've never been to the Elysium Keep.
No.
This is all new.
Wow.
Yeah.
Couldn't find anything.
Yep. So, oh man, it's been rough. There's no welcome committee. You didn't get a packet.
Just like the gift, it'll come later, I'm sure.
Yeah. So the Elysium Keep is in this vast, like, imagine a cave that's just been totally carved out. And there's the Elysium Keep itself is actually a fortress, like a castle that's just been, like, thrown and suspended in the middle of this large cavern. So down far, far beneath where this castle kind of floats in midair, there is an underground lake. You can see bioluminescent mushrooms, like, at the very base of this cavern. But you are actually completely encased here. So to get to the dungeon, you have to step just outside the walls of the keep and wind down these stairs that go along the base of this place, leading down onto the dungeon floor. So it's kind of an odd, like, feeling. It's definitely very scary, because if you fell off, it'd be a big fall.
Yikes.
So you kind of hug the side of that wall leading down into that dungeon area. And you can see that there is torchlight coming from under the door. So there are people in there.
Knock, knock.
Yeah. And you do. And you don't hear anything as suddenly the door opens up and you see this very, very tall man who you've probably seen Farrah, like, literally drifting around the keep. But he looks down and he's dressed like all in black, like a sort of, and just this pale face looks down at you.
Ah, I was expecting all of you. My apologies for not coming earlier.
And he like bows, sort of lets you all in.
It's okay, sir.
Farrah, my name is Vlad.
Oh. Nice to meet you.
I am the master of the house. If you need anything, just call, and I will be there.
Oh, okay. Well, that's what service. Thank you. I'm just gonna scoot past you.
Okay. And he looks unblinkingly at you as you step by. And you see that this dungeon space, the last time you were in here, Saye, it was sort of a traumatic experience. But now all of that has been cleared away. So you see these neat rows of cells that are almost always empty. You've never actually seen anyone in one of these cells. But now in the middle one, you see Rana. He's kind of sitting on a chair. He's got, like, his head in his hands. And it looks like Vlad, presumably, has pulled up this little square table, like, from the center of the room, and pulled it up to the bars, and it looks like Vlad has probably been sitting there, like, next to the cell.
He's locked in the cell.
Yep. And as you all step into the room, he looks up from his chair and sort of, like, grimaces. And then kind of looks down at his hands. And Vlad says,
he has been reticent to explain everything that has happened. But perhaps you can talk some sense into him.
Did you put him in here, Vlad?
No, he insisted he be put in here himself.
Oh.
I will leave you to it if you do not mind.
Thank you, Vlad.
And he's just sort of gone. He steps into, like, a shadow and is gone.
Check on his old.
And then you Kara. Have a feeling that he's doing it. You okay, don't know cool. how. yeah, you say Rana, Saye, and he kind of hunches his shoulders a little bit and,
Hi.
Why would you put yourself in here?
Well, I don't believe I'm in a position to be trusted this moment. I don't know. It just seems like everything I do, I don't know.
Well, did you do anything intentionally?
Well, I've been working for Rem, and, well, I know what happened. And it just seems like every time I get involved, someone ends up dead.
True. But...
Thanks.
But I've been in a similar position as you. Locking yourself up in a cell isn't going to help us solve anything. Is there anything else you can tell us about Rem or where she's gone or why she asked you to do this or... Do you know anything else?
Why don't you go ahead and make a persuasion check for me? And, I don't think Farrah's seen Rana yet. She missed him last time.
No, she went looking for him because they said he was cute. She's like, man, this is not how I wanted to meet this guy. But, you know, here we are.
It's a bad look.
Can I roll an insight check while I want to watch very closely Rana interacting with Saya's line of questioning.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, so what Farrah sees right now, this Air Genasi is sitting there in front of you. He somehow looks like when clouds roll in and they just, like, won't go away right now. Like, his normally, like, blue skin and, like, kind of, like, jaunty white hair that sort of flies about, it's taken on this very gray hue, and even his eyes are, like, this very stormy gray right now as he's sitting there, and just his clothes are usually, like, bright colored, like silks. He wears like this open kind of like V-neck like pirate shirt thing, but he just looks rumpled and like miserable.
Yeah, Farrah's probably just like, moment. I don't know what all the hype was about. I mean, he's not that cute right now. Not a very vibrant fellow.
Mm. Kind of gray. Mm-hmm. Yeah, what did you get, Saye, on your persuasion?
13.
Okay. Yeah, and he nods. I'll tell you everything I can. I promise I didn't know all of this. When last we left off, things were bad. I thought I had burned every bridge with the Sisters of Sorrow, with all of you. And Rem found me eventually and let me know that, well, she was still on my side, and so I helped her, and it truly was just looking in on the drow, what their activities were, and reporting back, and just keeping tabs on all of you. But then this, I don't know, suddenly things changed, and she let me know all of you were going, and the plan was different, and she had to get something. And I got a message saying that Arafel needed to die, and I didn't know why, but I didn't question it. And then I heard, well, she told me to get Isolde, because Kara was going to die too, and I didn't know, I don't know, and she's gone. She's gone, I haven't heard from her, I don't know. I told Isolde, and she came here, and I insisted I go as well. Because who knows what part I play in Rem's game. I don't understand it. I don't understand what's going on. And I just feel that I'm a liability more than anything else.
Well, we all have come to get pretty comfortable with Rem being able to disappear.
Did you roll an insight for that, Arnado?
I did.
Oh yeah, what was your number?
I rolled 16.
Okay, he seems very earnest and very frustrated, but he also seems like somebody who's trying to put the pieces together of what happened.
Yeah, he got fucking manipulated.
Right, and he's trying to understand, like, he still doesn't necessarily believe this was all a bad thing, but it's like now his instincts are saying, like, this, it maybe wasn't a good, but all of his other information are saying, like, well, I can trust Rem, and like, so he doesn't seem to know if he's telling you the truth or not. Like, he's like questioning everything.
He's telling the truth as far as he knows it. Like,
yeah.
And then,
but he's also questioning if he knows what the truth is.
Yeah.
Right.
No, I can follow that for sure. All of this is making, I'll just share this, like, I guess out of character. Arnadel really wants to talk to the Raven Queen. Like, really bad. But I think she's going to want to talk to all of you guys first. So as she's listening to Rana and things are kind of like adding up and getting weird, and she's remembering the note that the Raven Queen gave her about Rem. And we were all like, what the fuck, you crazy bitch? Like, you want us to kill Rem? What? I think we were even going to tell Rem, but we did like conveniently didn't for some whatever fucking reason. So she's going to want to pull Saya and Farrah aside. And then whenever you guys are, she'll wait patiently for the conversation to end.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Rana says his piece and then he sort of drops his head into his hands again.
Well, she's going to grab his hand real quick and just kind of look at him very sincerely. And say that, like, well, I don't have any grudge. I don't know how much that's going to help in this situation, but it's nice to see you again.
Thank you. I wish it was under better circumstances.
Yeah, me too. Actually, I have quite a bit in common with you. Don't sit in the cell. Seriously, I know you want to, but I think we've all been in some kind of some way, shape, or form. You should just go get a drink at the tavern.
Well, to speak on that, yeps, Arnadel's right. I mean, we've all, at some point, felt like our faith has been tested with the sisters, with Rem especially, in the past few days. And we've all felt the culprit or the reason for a lot of problems, for lack of a better word. But it doesn't really matter what we say to you. I can understand what you're feeling, and it's going to be something that you're going to have to move on in your own time. If you sit in here or sit outside, you're going to be dealing with it yourself in your own way, and we've all had to do that ourselves. So just know that Kara is okay. It's going to be slow, but she's back with us. Thanks to you, warning is old. She came back. She worked her magic. She's here. So take whatever time you need. We'll still be here.
And we also acknowledge that you're trying to make it right. And that's all. That's all we've ever done for each other, so.
Farrah's kind of standing in the back with her lips pursed, and she's like, though, if Rem called for your help again, would you still help her?
And he kind of takes like a sharp inhale. I owe a lot to Rem. What she did, it feels strange. This is the first time I felt, I don't know, it was different. Her path was confused, or I honestly, I don't know. Perhaps this was I don't know, a means to an end. She's always playing games within games.
Let me help you out with this. She brought me back from being killed and even helped me get to my new patron. There's not a single shadow of a doubt. There's no fucking way that I would ever help her after this. It's quite a debt, right? Like, I don't know if that helps you figure things out. She's gonna, like, the keg that she got for Kara, she's gonna just kind of hand it over to him, and we're like, I'm gonna go.
I don't know. Maybe I need to speak to Kara. I don't really understand what... I don't know. And perhaps it's better, since I can't answer that if I stay here.
My thoughts exactly. But we will bring you some food.
Yeah. Enjoy that keg.
Definitely. It's the good ship.
It's the good ship. Be careful with it. It's the dwarven ship.
It's the chorus. He gives like a... a very weak, like, appeasing smile. And sort of, like, nods.
I think we head out.
Yeah, I'm gonna, like, after we get out of earshot of him, I'm gonna kind of, like, pause and gently, you know, like, get your attention and be like, I really want to talk to you guys about some stuff.
Yeah.
Tight. Rendezvous in the bunker bedrooms. Yes. That's our, you know, our spot. Oh.
Our digs.
I think we pick up another few tankards of beer.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh no, we don't fuck with tankards. We just get the whole fucking thing. The baby barrel.
Get the keg.
What is it called? Pony kegs?
I love you guys.
Pony kegs.
I really want a real pony keg. So yeah, we grab a pony keg, like a couple of pony kegs and some tankards.
Yeah.
Yeehaw. Maybe like a thing of, can you turn water into ice? Saya?
Yeah.
Fuck yes, we are in.
Yeah. Frost these steins, girl. Shit.
She just like blows on the glasses a little bit, makes them chilled, and then puts some ice cubes in there.
Oh my god, that's so fucking cool. Arnadel's gonna kind of super nutshell summarize like Raven Queen shit to Farrah, because we haven't had a chance to really talk about that. And then she's bring up the thing, like, coming back, and the heart, the fucking my boyfriend kind of thing, like, all of it. She just tells you all of it. She catches you up. So she's gonna, after that, she's gonna kind of be like,
fucking boyfriend.
It's a lot.
It's a lot.
It's a lot to unpack. I'm weirdly okay with it.
Nothing surprises me anymore. Clink.
So
Yeah, and if you all want to have this conversation too, you can definitely wait a few hours till Kara's a little bit more.
Yeah, Kara should totally be.
So you can get Kara in.
That was, I realized halfway through that, I'm like, Kara should be part of this. So yeah, all of it. We're all sitting. You're feeling a little better, maybe enough to drink as well.
I don't know, are you, Kara?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, if you're waiting till Kara wakes up again. And, yeah, that's, like, the first thing she walks out of her room. She's, like, in her pajamas. She's, like, wearing, they're all, like, flannel pajamas. And she walks out of her room and she looks around and she's... You just hear her say from, like, out the hallway, God, I need a drink.
We got you. She got a Stein frosted for you already. Two of them. One for each hand.
And her, eyes, cock up towards Arnadel's room. And she just slowly, shuffles in her slippers.
Are you, holding Alistar? You know when you, cradle a cat or a dog and you're just, comfort animal?
Yeah, exactly. He's
been farting bubbles this whole fucking... Oh, your room is dusted in glitter. Nice.
Oh man.
He had some nachos. Sorry.
lactose intolerant little dragon. So you see Kara walk in. She looks fucking awful. Her eyes are just look sunken in. She has these dark circles under her eyes. It looks like she hasn't slept in a week. And she's cradling Alistar with one arm. His little feet are tingling down.
Yeah. He's so content and happy, relaxed.
I want to draw that so bad.
We'll float up a little Stein to you to get you so you don't even have, so you get it immediately. Little hair of the dog that bit you.
Oh man, and she takes it out of the air. She's like, that's why you guys are my best friends.
It was a pretty cavernously hollow 3 days there. She probably starts to cry a little bit.
And she, she sits down on the ground. Sips.
So,
none of you guys ever die again. I can't deal with that.
Dude. Rem and the Raven Queen death recipe. What do you guys think?
I mean, I've never met her, but she sounds awful.
She's, you know what's awful is she's, wait, the Raven Queen or Rem?
No, the Raven Queen, and she seems cool, I guess. Pretty neutral on her, I would say. Rem, I'm glad she brought you back, but, she fucking killed Kara.
Yeah.
She sure did.
Yo, that's some manipulative shit.
I mean, it was for a good reason. It was so I could save my father's souls from limbo, but I did still die. That was a thing that happened.
But also, well, we just spoke to Rana, and she knew what was going to happen, and it's because of him that you're back, too. He informed Isolde, and she came here to help you and brought you back. So, I mean, she had a plan.
Yeah.
And followed through with it. I don't know what it had to do with this armor, or the, who was it? Era?
Well, she wanted the armor. She wanted, she offered me to go and help my fathers if I didn't get in the way of her getting that armor.
And you said, over your dead body. Sorry, I couldn't.
That's pretty good. I get it. Because she killed
you're
me.
You're the one that usually has
and presumably walked over my dead body.
Oh, maybe we wait a week for these jokes. Yeah.
What? Too soon?
I'm not feeling
it. She slugs back the rest of her beer.
I think Arnadel's probably drunk at that point.
And refills her glass.
So,
she didn't say anything else about the armor and why she was looking for it?
Yeah.
She didn't say.
Moradin told you something, Kara. Do you remember what it was? What this thing was called?
Oh, it had a name. I don't remember.
He referred to the suit of armor as the Avatar.
The Avatar, that's right. Kara said, Moradin told me that this has got to be some kind of powerful relic. It's called the Avatar. I don't know if either any of you have heard of that.
Well, let's do an Arcana check.
Knowledge?
Yeah. What do we do for that?
Guess I'll do a knowledge.
Yeah. Arcana or history or religion?
I got a natural 20.
I'll do religion.
I got a 12, and I'm changing my fucking dice.
Okay. So we got a
fucking moonstone dice, you guys.
I got a 24 in religion.
Okay, 24 religion, 20 on arcana, nat 20. Cool, that's a lot of information. Let's
we're both
see.
Like, do-do-do-do-do. Okay. Beep, 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 beep,
beep, beep. Downloading.
A little sheet of paper comes out of our mouths.
Awful, like, DSL fax sound.
Yeah. So, neither of you know what the Avatar is. You are certain you have not read about it specifically. But I will, which is sort of weird in itself. But I will remind you of a few things you observed about where you are that might be helpful. So in terms of Arcana, you know that the place you were in that you found this avatar, you remember that there had been this large arcane symbol on the floor. Something Sathras had actually like looked at this and determined this. It was some kind of signature left by a wizard. So you think you were in some kind of wizard sanctum or tower, place like that. I mean, the whole place radiated magic. There was that magic wall. So this avatar, whatever it was, is clearly some kind of very powerful magic artifact that was in this, like, wizard sanctum far beneath the earth. Farah, with your religion check, you recall that what had sealed away whatever the sanctum was, they were like hundreds of different religious symbols of different gods, different faiths, different deities that had sealed away entrance to this place. So whatever it was, it seems to be some kind of arcane creation that was concealed or put away by divine magic. And you recall again, too, this whole thing had been built into this strange pillar that you all had spent a lot of time kind of musing over. That pillar of stone that didn't seem to be from that same place. And that whole pillar had radiated some kind of magic.
I think you also mentioned, I could be wrong, y'all correct me if I'm wrong, if that you, when we were inquiring about that, it was more of something that was meant to contain rather than...
Yep.
Hmm.
So that's what... That's what occurs to you. You're thinking
vault.
Through your processes there, and you have not heard of the Avatar. So maybe it's something older than what you've heard, or it's something you've, like,
real niche
from a mythology or something that, yeah.
Well, let me tell you all of this. Haven't heard of it.
It's magic as fuck.
It's a secret as fuck.
I think that maybe at some point, if all these religious, you know, groups worked together at some point to seal this in, there's gotta be some kind of, like, history keepers who have written about this, even if it's secret. You know, I don't know if we can speak to Amalfia or some other person of a higher power in a religious sect, but, I mean, I don't really know how else to find out about this.
Did we determine, and maybe this is just me... Arnadel's racked in grief and joy and all of the things, so not the best listener at the moment. Did we determine what the fuck this armor does?
Nope. You saw...
We have no clue.
You saw Rem disappear into it. Like, her form was absurd. Kara learned some stuff about getting to the armor.
You have to die.
You know, it had a... Okay. No. Somebody had to die. And then you had seen Rem punch, like, a suit, like an Iron Man suit, like, through the ceiling in this armor. So whatever it is... Super amazingly strong.
I'm going to bring this up one more time. I would really love to, if you guys are cool with it, I'm going to do some summoning shit. Maybe try to pay a visit to the Raven Queen, because I feel like she'd probably know.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you can talk to a literal fucking god instead of somebody who works for a god, by all means, yes.
Well, more.
Go for it, sister.
Not so much that as much as, like, she knows Rem and she tried to warn us about her. And I know she's going to be, I mean, I might not get through. She might not pick up. She might screen that phone call. So it's, I just think it might be worth it. But I don't know why I feel weird about, like, wanting to do that. So I guess that's why I'm asking you guys if that's cool.
No, man, get out the Ouija board. Let's call her.
Word.
I think, I don't know. I feel like I should talk to, I feel like we should talk to Isolde about this. And see how she's doing since. She brought me back to life.
It was actually a really beautiful ceremony. I mean, it was...
There were so many candles.
It was beautiful and heart-wrenching at the same time, and I hope I never have to watch that again, by the way.
Well, we should talk to everyone about this, and yes, you should talk to your patron, and I'm gonna keep praying to the Sisters of Sorrow, and maybe they'll bring their voices to light.
Same.
Well, I'll do a
prayer circle.
Yeah, I'll do my night prayers. Before bed.
My warlock night prayers.
Spooky.
And then should we bring his old breakfast in bed? And let's do that.
Nice little French press, you know?
Yeah.
Some like Irish coffee.
Yeah, cute ass like little tray with shit on it, you know? Like definitely avocado toast.
We found a flower.
Toast.
I don't know where, but we found it.
Love it.
All right. What's the order of operations? What's the plan?
Nightly prayers.
Yeah. Nightly prayers. Prayers to the Raven Queen.
Well, everybody's praying that tonight.
Prayers to the sisters.
Mm-hmm. All right. Sweet. So I guess let's start with Arnadel then. How do you imagine that you talk to the Raven Queen? How does that happen? Tell me how you
Well, it's really awkward because she's never done it before. You know? It's like... And she's not a religious, there's no divine magic with Arnadel. She's very not spiritual or whatever. It's kind of brutal, really. So she just kind of thinks about it. She's like, fuck. Like, she tries to think about all the other ways that you can communicate. She thinks of spells. And then she just kind of settles on, like, feeling it. Because, you know, she'd been possessed by her. So she just kind of, like, feels it.
She been inside.
Yeah, and inside of her boyfriend. So she just kind of like sends that fucking intuitive like wish, you know, like the wish to the universe. Seeking, you know, I don't know, she feels like there's some magic with that. So she just kind of lets it fly and waits.
Why don't you go ahead and roll me a percentile there?
That is a 78%.
Okay. You are sending your... cry out your general Raven Queen, speak to me, to the universe vibes. And at one point, Alistair like kind of coughs and like makes a cawing sound. Oh.
Just kind of like, she left me on red.
Like, yeah. But you're sending that out, and other than that, nothing remarkable seems to happen. Right.
I will add, there's a level of, like, heartfelt desperation of, like, hey, I don't really call in a favor very often, but, here we are. So, she's like, all right, you heard me, I'm gonna go to bed. I'm just gonna go to fucking bed. I'm tired.
Yeah. You do recall that she specifically is, like, locked away in a very specific place, and last time she reached out to you, she sent a note with Aaron and a box. So she's never actually contacted you directly.
Oh, okay.
So you're not sure if she can. She works in mysterious ways, warlock patrons.
But I think that meant that she heard me, and I'll be like, okay, right? I don't know. That's very cryptic. That's how she goes to bed. That's how she goes to bed. She's like, well, I don't know. I'll have to fucking figure it out.
And Saye and Farrah, are you doing anything specifically or just kind of praying out to the universe?
No, I think Farrah has a whole, like, routine set up, since she's always been pretty devout to the sisters. Mm-hmm. She has her holy symbol, which she always wears on her lapel, and she will hold on to it, and she will kneel in front of her bed, and I think this time, too, like, she's just kind of, like, boring into the symbol on her hands, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, I'm yours now, marked. So, please answer. Ladies.
Ladies.
And you do this for, I don't know, how long do you keep at it? About an hour passes.
Yeah. I mean, I think after the 3 days, after an hour passes, she's just like, ugh, going to bed.
Yeah. Yeah, and you get, like, you're through your ablutions, you know, you're, like, changing or whatever, when you hear a knock on your door.
Vlad, is that you?
No, sorry. I
it's Chance. We haven't met, but well, I wanted to talk to you. I heard there was a new maiden roaming about and wanted to come in. Sorry, if this is a bad time, I can absolutely come back later.
It's fine.
He's just talking through the door.
It's fine, dude. You caught me before the pants came off, so you can come in.
Oh.
You know, because once you take them off, you,
they don't come back on.
Sure. Yeah.
They don't. Okay. My rule holds too.
Not the same for you? I don't know. It's been a weird day. Come in.
Yeah, and you hear like a tentative, like, kind of turning.
No. Come on. Let's go.
Okay, yeah, and you open up the door, and you see that there is a tiefling standing on the other side of the door here, and he is dressed in very, like, a simple kind of white shirt, just, like, brown trousers and boots, and he's standing there. He's sort of, like, a palish blue color, so you would recognize him, you would, as a Stygian tiefling. And he looks at you kind of surprised, and, oh, hi, again, sorry, through the door.
Oh, no, my name's... It's fine. Shake his hand.
My name is Chance, and I heard there was another cleric about, so I came up from town to visit. Sorry, I'm sorry. Are you Farrah? I don't want to presume. No. I just there aren't a lot of tieflings, and I figured
not a cleric.
I was in the right place.
It's a whole. I mean, I don't want to brag, with divine blood thing. But it's fine.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't, I should have said a holy woman.
You know how it is, you heal people. Everyone's a cleric.
Yeah, ain't that the truth.
Yeah. But you are! So cool!
Yeah.
So,
do you want to grab a drink or hang out in your room or...
forward.
I just wanted to come in, so I work, I'm the priest down at the All Faiths Chapel down here in Newbreach. This is actually my first time up to the Elysium Keep. Wow, it's a little overwhelming.
Oh yeah. Kind
of looks around.
Yeah. Yeah, let's get a drink, man. I'll just close my door and
great. You want to head into town or I don't know, do you have a he's kind of looking down because you're standing in this like long dark hall now and like nobody's out, so he's like
I think
it's like when you're in a motel at night and it's just like that really kind of like
yeah. she just kind of like stands there and looks down the hall for a second. She goes, okay, I know, yeah, there's a place here, it's two lefts down this, we'll figure it out, let's go.
Great, I'll follow you.
Oh no. She's just gonna like start walking with purpose, and I think she probably like takes a loop around more than necessary, but eventually gets there.
He politely says nothing as you walk in circles several times until you find the Middle Sister Tavern. And you can definitely open it up. Right now there's like nobody hanging out there. The lights are still on. There is a redheaded woman behind the bar. She seems to be, like, shuffling through a stack of coins. She does not look up at you as you walk in.
So what's your poison?
Oh, do they serve beer or wine?
Yikes. Yeah.
He's, like, been wide-eyed looking at this, like, fortress floating inside of a mountain. You get the sense that maybe he's not... I don't know. Not maybe as a high level adventurer as some of the people kicking around here. He says, miss? And the woman at the bar is like, what? I would love a beverage and one for the lady here. What would you like to have?
I'll have the dwarven ale. That shit was good.
Make that too. That sounds excellent. And she's like, okay, let me find a glass. And kind of like walks around and takes two out of a pile that may be clean and then pulls you two drafts and kind of like slops them onto the bar in front of both of you. He smiles. He's, thank you. Thank you kindly. Yeah, whatever. Okay. Well, where would you like to sit? It seems there's a lot of options.
How about this lovely table? And I just...
sounds great. he's kind of like pushing the mug back and forth between his hands. I'm so sorry if calling on you at this hour was just a complete buffoon idea. I don't know. I felt like all of a sudden I needed to come and meet you for some reason.
Oh? Go, I mean, just some reason that's no more. What? Do you follow the sisters, or?
Well, Well, we call the church down there. It's an all-faiths church, just dependent on, you know, all these broken people from so many places, so many different gods, so many different religions. It's more of a place for folks to get community and a sense of belonging, which I feel can be done in across all religions of any kind. So I don't specifically prescribe to one deity or the other. I think of myself as a generalist.
Awesome. That seems like you're doing really good work. Wow, you seem like a really nice person.
Oh, well, thank you. But I can certainly say I wasn't always who I am today. I don't know. I guess I've been given a second chance. That's why I took the name.
That's perfect. Wow.
How's Farrah doing?
Yeah, Farrah's like, she got real excited there, and she was hoping he'd be like, yes, I felt that I should come here because I got a vision from the sisters that you needed my aid. And she's just like, it's kind of like an up and down kind of thing for her. And yeah. Then she just kind of like leans over on the table and takes like a big, you know, giant gulp from her glass. And she's like, well, I mean, I guess.
If you don't mind, I actually have a question of sorts for you. You do follow the sisters, Sara. I mean, obviously you're part of all of this, yeah. Sort of indicates. They've done right by us and the people of New Breach. I mean, we had nothing, and without Christoph and Isolde and everything they're doing, we'd all be dead, quite frankly. But there are some rumors going about in town that things are, they aren't going so well up here. And I was just wondering, I don't know, if you have any guidance or words of wisdom here. Or, I don't know, the people are scared. And I think, I don't know, a little wisdom from the Sisters of Sara could do a lot of good right now.
I gotta say personally that I didn't really know what to expect when I joined up. I didn't have a rough past or anything. Everything was super great, I'll be honest with you. And things have been rough since I joined up, but I think that being a man of the faith, that you understand that you just gotta kind of keep hanging on and trust that the gods know what they're doing. And especially with this religion, fate is fate, and all you can control is yourself, and what's gonna happen is gonna happen, but you should always do your best because that's what's expected of you. So hold on, and if the fight ever comes to you, suit up and frickin' become whatever life needs you to be.
That's a good bit of wisdom.
Yeah, I'm pretty wise. It's fine.
Yeah. No big deal.
But I mean, it's everyone's just there to be part of a puzzle, and you're your own piece. So make it a good one, I guess, and eventually things will sort themselves out, right? That's just how it goes.
In my experience, things do work out one way or the other. I guess sometimes it feels like we're just along for the ride, but thanks. I'll keep that in mind. And, you know, if you ever want to come down and I'll help out. I mean, we've got a bunch of activities going on, you know, raising barns, that sort of, well, not really, but the land is pretty terrible, but we're doing our best.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I feel like we're gonna probably be here for a bit, so if I get some spare time, activities sound good. I'll help out where I can.
We'd love to see you there, all of us. But, well, hey, let's get another drink to wisdom, right?
To wisdom.
Well, actually, you know, that feels like a pretty good place to end the episode on that kind of words of wisdom.
I'm so glad there's a mute button on this because I was definitely like, uh-huh, oh girl, bitch.
I get to hear those later.
I reeled it in a little bit.
Yeah. So sometimes wisdom from the gods comes in all kinds of forms. But thank you all so much for joining us for this episode of The Venture Maidens, the start of the fourth and final arc of Venture Maidens. Things are gonna be big. So thank you all. You're great. We love you. I have been your Dungeon Master, Celeste Godowich.
I've been your Moon Elf Warlock Garnadella Thill, played by Brittany Quintero. And also, I am really stoked to be on the viewing end of a ship starting to set sail. This is great.
Oh, bye.
I am Katie, playing your wisest fuck tiefling divine soul sorcerer, Farrah Valen.
I'm Nassim Etemad, playing your human monk, Sayanur.
And I'm Sage, and I play your barbarian who's been born anew, Cara Brynhilda.
We haven't seen anything yet, but there's some really exciting stuff. Oh my gosh, I can't. Cara's new build. Oh my god, it made me like puke in my mouth a little bit when I looked at it. I was so scared.
What?
I was so scared. Sorry. I was afraid. But anyway, thank you all so much for listening to Venture Maidens. If you like our stuff, follow us on social media, Venture Maidens at Twitter, at Instagram, Facebook, wherever. You can also support us on Patreon, where you can find bonus episodes, a bunch of fun content. Go, go, go. You're amazing. Thank you all so much for listening. And until next time, Venture away, everybody. That was so
good. Like and subscribe.
Like and subscribe.
1. Thanks for tuning in. We've got one more sponsor before we sign off, D&D Beyond. In these coming months, the Maidens are making the descent into Avernus, and throughout this journey, we are taking D&D Beyond with us. Yes, even hell has internet for us to access it. How do you think cringeworthy tweets end up on Twitter? Demons, obviously. Anyway, what's exciting about this for us is that tons of the Maidens and Mandans who are playing through this have chosen to use Unearthed Arcana classes. All of that is available on the site to integrate into your character sheet. Not only that, but of course, like any of the published books, the whole new campaign is there for you to purchase. That way, even if you guys decide last minute that you're going to make your journey into hell, you're able to pull up the book and pull up any of your character sheets anytime, anywhere. Thanks for listening, everybody, and we hope that you enjoyed this episode. As always, stay saucy.